Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Inspiring interviews with today's top landlords. This is the Rental Income Podcast. And now, Dan Lane.
I really like what my guest on the podcast today is doing with his rental properties. He's done a lot of little things that are making a huge difference with his rental properties. His rentals aren't in the best area, but he's attracting really good tenants that are willing to pay above market rent. And at the same time, he's been able to reduce his costs by really kind of tenant-proofing his properties. So we're going to find out exactly what he's doing and how his business works. So let's take a really quick break. We'll thank our sponsors. We'll come right back and we'll meet Kevin Cross from Anchorage, Alaska. Having to evict a tenant is painful. The best way to protect yourself from evictions is to screen tenants. And the best way that I know of to screen tenants is TransUnion Smart Move. It's a really valuable online screening tool delivering credit, eviction, and background reports in minutes. And their proprietary tenant credit check predicts evictions 15% better than generic credit scores. See why over 4 million landlords have used SmartMove to make better leasing decisions. Use code RENTAL25 at checkout to save 25% at tenantscreening.com. That's code RENTAL25 at tenantscreening.com. The first step in buying a rental property is to get pre-qualified, and I would suggest you work with a lender that specializes in working with investors, because the last thing you want to have happen is to get to closing and find out the money's not there and you can't close. The lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. She's a nationwide lender and she'll pre-qualify you for free if you mention Rental Income Podcast. Find out more today. Contact Chaley at ridgelendinggroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E. lendinggroup.com. NMLS 42056. Hey, Kevin, thanks so much for coming on the podcast. So why don't we start with you telling us a little bit about your portfolio and what it looks like today?
Yeah, excellent. So I operate out of Anchorage, Alaska. So our population is about 400,000. And I own 2 8-plexes, a 5-plex, 3 4-plexes, a duplex, and I lease a couple condos that I then Airbnb and sublease out. So I have a couple that I have that aren't technically own them, but I generate significant cash flow from.
And the properties that you specialize in are kind of C-class properties?
Yeah, I've never bought a property that's not a move up. Means I don't, I've always had this philosophy that if it's really nice, there's no way to improve it. Like the only way it can go is down in condition from beautiful and nice. So I always buy what I call move up properties, or things that I can go in and capitalize based on lack of utilization and bad management. Okay. I basically follow property managers around who do bad jobs, and I swoop up the properties at significantly below market value.
That's interesting. Okay, so you're looking for property managers that you know, just from being in the market, you know, aren't doing a good job, and then contacting the owners of those properties to see if you can buy their property?
Yeah, so I can find a property. Typically, I can check the tax rolls, see if they're an out-of-state owner. If I see something that looks like it's mildly distressed by driving around, if it's got mattresses around the dumpster and broken-down vehicles, and I can tell basically when something's on the decline. And then I will contact that seller directly and find out their situation. A lot of times there's a condition issue where they can't sell it because commercial loans and financing has weighs heavily on inspections and condition. Sure. So they just don't think that there's an exit. And then I come in and say, do you want money? Do you want out? And all my properties but one are actually seller financed.
Okay. Awesome. Now let's talk about the way that you're attracting tenants. So with a C-class property, the upside is that there's usually a lot of cash flow. I mean, the C-class properties are usually pretty profitable, but the downside is you're not
C-class
always
tenants.
Right. The C-class tenants, right, are the downside, right? That you've really got to screen them and you've really got to be careful about getting good tenants in there. And
yes,
you've done a really good job of attracting almost an A-class tenant in a C-class property. Tell me how you're doing that.
So one thing to understand is that there's a process, and there's putting yourself in that individual's. Listen, it's got to be clean, safe, and nice.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'll typically do is the first thing when I take control of a C-class property is I will immediately clean up the exterior, and I will clean up the outside and just make sure that the yard, the driveway, everything is nice and clean. In fact, I typically will hire a church youth group because it's tax deductible to pay them. And I will just have them clean the whole street, even if it's not my property, leading up to my property. So when someone turns off a main corridor and is heading towards mine, I don't want any trash. Okay. Mm-hmm. I can hire them real inexpensive just to clean and rake trash and clean up around other people's dumpsters. So I want everything leading to my property to be really nice. Then I hyper focus on common areas. So when someone walks into your property, if they're okay walking past filth and dirt and smell before they get to the unit, they've already said that's an acceptable life quality that they're okay living around. I don't want those people.
Mm-hmm.
So my common areas are immaculate, and my laundry rooms, if they're shared laundries, are immaculate. They're as nice as in anybody's home, because those are the kind of people I want attracted to my building.
Right.
I take out the coin op laundries. I put normal washers and dryers in there so they get a feel of, you know, with cabinets with a lock where they can put their detergent and stuff, and they can lock their possessions inside the laundry room to create, again, a real clean, safe, nice environment, keyless entries. Art on the walls, which is cheap. I go to Goodwill. I go to like a secondhand store and just buy really inexpensive artwork and decor and just make it look nice.
And this is artwork that you're putting actually in the unit that the tenant's going to be renting?
So not only in the corridors, but that's exactly right. So my doors, you know, I always say that the front door, like the door into the unit, needs to be really clean. And this placates into using a house cleaner, which we'll touch base in a second. But then inside the unit, listen, for $299 off Best Buy, I can buy a 65-inch flat screen TV. So I'll mount a TV. I got rid of all the old coaxial cables, and I put Wi-Fi in my buildings. It can be a little more expensive to boot Wi-Fi, but one is I hate those little black cables running all over the property. I think it looks unattractive. Plus, they may or may not want to put their TV, you know, so – I mean, smart TVs are the way to go. They're dirt cheap. I put Wi-Fi in the buildings, no coin-op laundry. You know, they just, I mean, it's free laundry. I'd hang artwork on the walls. I put little stuff in the kitchen, you know. The intention here is you got to understand that the best tenants that we have, at least in my market center, I've discovered are individuals that are probably only going to rent for about 2 years. Okay. Mm-hmm. If they've got a credit score of over 700, they're not going to rent for 5 or 6 years. They're the anomaly.
Right.
They've got that kind of credit score and they're going for 3 or 4 years. Then they're probably going to buy a house. They're going to stay in ours and they're just going to take advantage of their great credit score and, you know, the housing prices and buy something. So really, a really, really good tenant has a gestation period of probably a max is 2 years.
Okay.
Therefore, a really good tenant, since they're only going to be there in 2 years, we should not burden them with the cost of decorating it, right? I want their money going towards rent.
Right.
So I'm going to make that place beautiful so that they just move right in.
That makes a lot of sense. So you're giving them a TV to use. You're giving them free Wi-Fi. You're giving them lots of pictures and knickknacks and stuff. So it makes it so that they have less to worry about. And it's a place and they're going to want to stay for 2 years.
That's exactly right. And they're going to want to continue to rent there. You know, it's got to feel like a small, it's got to feel like they're visiting somebody's home and not like they're a tenant. And so a lot goes into just creating a very clean, safe, and nice environment. And it's not expensive. It's extremely inexpensive to do so.
Now, tell me about the laundry room. So you said you take out the coin-operated laundry machines And
so in a Class C area, typically what happens is the coin-op laundry machines are not very – one, they're not very energy efficient. Okay, mm-hmm. They're loud. They consume a lot of they're very basic machines. They consume a lot of your water and gas or electric, depending on how it's fueled. And then, if it's a worst case scenario, if someone doesn't close the door all the way, Class C areas are notoriously a little higher in crime. So someone might try to break in and steal the quarters out of it. I've had that happen several times. Listen, I've never had anybody try to steal money out of a free machine. So I'd never have to fix them.
Okay? Right.
Now, if I'm only making $150 a month in coin op off a washer and dryer in a small apartment building, one service call is $400. So it doesn't make any sense. So I can actually make more money by just putting free ones in there, ones that are much more energy efficient. I lower my utility bills. Nobody breaks into it, and I get more in rent. Mm-hmm. I make three times as much money on the coin than I would over a coin op.
Right. Yeah. I really like the way that you're thinking, because so many landlords are trying to spend as little as possible, but you're actually spending more and giving up a revenue stream, and that's leading you to make more money. Right, because you're charging higher rents than some of the neighboring properties.
I'm in. Give you an idea. My Class C property in Anchorage, one of my fourplexes. The neighboring properties all rent out for $950 to $1,000. That's identical buildings. Now these are all buildings built by the same builder back in like 1978, so they're older buildings. So the two bedroom, one bath, 1,000 square feet, are going typically for $950 to $1,000 a month. I'm getting $1,250 for my downstairs units and $1,350 for the upstairs
units.
My square footage is the same. What's different? When you walk into my unit, it's clean, it's safe, it's nice.
Right.
It's nicely painted, it smells good. There's welcome mats in front of the doors, there's keyless entries, the laundry room is spotless. And so in order to maintain this, you're like, gosh, Kevin, that sounds like a lot of work. Well, I told you, I avoid property managers. That's how I picked mine up. I self-manage all 45 of my units, and I run a real estate brokerage, and I have a contracting company. So it's critical to have great tenants, because then I would have to hire someone to babysit them.
Right.
So what I found is the perfect mix is I have a house cleaner. And she's a fantastic, hardworking little Russian lady who charges me $20 an hour. And once a week, she goes to the common areas in my buildings and cleans, empties the trash, wipes stuff down, Mr. Clean magic sponges, makes it look nice. And she reports back to me any malfeasance, anything that looks like it's an issue. So she cleans up the trash around the outside of the yard and says, hey, Kev, here's the problem. I saw a mattress out back, or I saw it looks like the guy's working on his vehicle. She notifies me immediately of anything that looks like it's like a tenant is misbehaving, or if it's just a maintenance concern, so I can immediately resolve that. And by the way, no, I've never met a property manager who visits a property once a week.
Right. And what does it cost to have her to do that?
$40 per property.
$40. Okay. So once a week, she's going over there doing a little bit of cleaning, but more importantly, putting eyes on the property.
That's right. And she sends it back to me. And if there's a problem, she takes a picture and texts it to me so I can immediately resolve it. So she lets me know if she sees cigarette, but a pet peeve of mine is cigarette butts around the property. Okay. Mm-hmm. These are no smoking properties. And if you're going to go outside and smoke, great, but you pick up after yourself.
Right.
To me, that's like one of those just details that you walk past a bunch of cigarette butts in order to get to the building and you're okay with that. I probably don't want you in my building.
Right.
So I immediately will find out who it is and what do I got to do to fix it. And if necessary, I'll install cameras or something like that. But to be honest, we only have one or two buildings that even need security cameras, because once you have really good tenants, the tenants will police it for you. They will let you know if there's a problem.
Right.
They'll let you know, hey, there's something here that doesn't look right. Why? Because people with high standards want to live in a place with high standards.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
And they want to police that because they don't want, they understand that it is a gradual and then sudden decline, right? So a couple little things add up and then suddenly you're like, how did I get to this point? Right. So really good tenants will help you police.
Now, tell me what you're doing inside, because inside the units, you've really, in addition to all the amenities you're providing, you've really kind of made your units tenant-proof. Tell me some of the things that you've done.
Okay. So yes, and I appreciate that. One is no garbage disposals. If it is, I remove the double sinks and just put a giant oversized sink in there. Why? Because if you have the double sinks, there's twice the likelihood of leaks underneath. Yep. So if I have to go in and update a unit, right? I don't like double sinks. If you want a double sink, just get a Rubbermaid container, put it in the sink, right? Just mm-hmm. get an oversized one.
Yep.
But really streamline the plumbing. Most of my bathrooms, I will eventually just, try to get rid of, linoleum, things like that. So, I got a really inexpensive tile guy, so I will tile the bathroom all the way to the ceiling and tile the bathroom floor entirely and then trim it out with the plastic wood that's used. It's an exterior wood that's used for windows, but I'll use that for trim in the bathroom, so everything, and silicone it. You dump 5 gallons of water on the floor, it ain't going anywhere.
That's great.
All right, so all my towel bars and everything are 1/2-inch pipe, threaded pipe that I've painted silver. And screwed into like 4x1/2 pieces of wood, trim boards, you know, nice finished wood that's painted white, screwed into studs. You could do pull-ups on my towel bars or my toilet. You could stand on my toilet paper holders. They're not coming out of the wall.
That's great.
So, but it looks classy. It looks industrial. So, but when you go in there, you realize this place is built. I don't do blinds, like those blinds with cords. Okay, those are garbage because they always break. People, whatever it is, they pull down on them with their fingers. I do curtains, the draw curtains, like the, you know, that hang. But even those, the curtain rods, I will put a piece of 1/2x6 above the window, remove that, and the curtain rod is actually screwed into wood trim. You could hang on those, they ain't coming out. And then I do curtains because I can wash them if they get dirty. But blinds, you're replacing those. Every time a tenant comes in and out, you always got a couple mangled blinds. So little things to class it up, make it look really nice. But what I've discovered is it just lasts so much longer, attracts a better tenant. And then when I have a vacancy, it is a very quick turnaround.
Yep, sure. Now, bed bugs is something that is going to come up from time to time. You figured out a way to alleviate this problem. What are you doing?
So a couple things I do is every 90 days I get a significant discount with a local pest inspector, and I have all my buildings inspected every 90 days. That's one thing, because bed bugs, cockroaches, pests of any sort, if you catch them early on, it's not an issue. Mm-hmm. If they manifest and you let it go 6, 8, 12 months, then you got an issue. The next thing is, if I ever have to remodel a unit, pull up flooring, do kitchen cabinets or whatever, we go in and we silicone and we expansion foam every penetration. So we make sure that each unit, if we've got to go in and update it, is airtight to the next unit. So at the base where the sheetrock comes up to the subfloor, to your OSB, we're spraying high density expansion foam in that gap before the carpet goes in, right? Mm-hmm. Wherever your baseboards go through the wall, we're expanding those, we're filling those. If the kitchen cabinets come, every penetration behind the sheetrock, behind kitchen cabinets, where any kind of bug or anything can exist, we seal everything tight. That way, if I ever have a problem with one unit, it stays in one unit.
Yeah.
Because generally the cost of extermination is you try to take care of one unit, and all they do is move into a different property, create a problem somewhere else, and then just wait and come back.
Right.
And you're just playing whack-a-mole.
Uh-huh.
So by sealing all the units and taking an extra couple hours and spending a couple bucks on expansion foam and silicone, and you will save yourself thousands of dollars the next time you have an outbreak.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, you've really got this stuff figured out. Now, the next thing I want to ask you about is the actual tenant management. So you have a lot of stuff going on with your other businesses, and you've got a bunch of rentals, but you've hired virtual assistants to help you with the management and the communication. Tell me about that and how that's working.
Oh, it works so well. It's so being in the real estate business, administrative costs are steep. A really good administrator in my market starts at typically $25 an hour. That's just we have different wages in Anchorage. It's expensive up here. It's expensive to live.
Mm-hmm.
However, there is a magnificent group of human beings on this planet in the Philippines who just, they have such amazing values. They're such good people. They work so hard, and they can do all my office management remotely. So I use a tool called SlideIsle. It gives them a 907, gives them an Anchorage telephone number. And I tell them if you have a maintenance concern, you can either call or text this number. And it actually goes to a couple of my VAs, virtual assistants in the Philippines. And they document any repairs, any claims, anything that we need, and they send it off. And they know which contractor to call on what or when to notify me. They're well trained. They do it for their starting pay is $4 an hour. And then the really good ones who've been with me, like I have one guy, Gino, has been with me for like 5 years. He's up to $8 an hour, which by the way is enough money over there to buy a house, buy a car, and his kids are in private school.
Wow. So
it's yeah. just the exchange rate.
Right.
They do everything. They pre-screen the tenants. They place the advertisement ads. They create document profit and loss statements. Anything that I have done more than once that has a system and anything that doesn't require me to physically touch it, they can handle.
Right. Right. That is awesome. So you're self-managing your properties, but it seems like with the work that you've done upfront to tenant-proof the properties, with the ongoing management that you've got outsourced to the virtual assistants, is there really much for you to do on a daily basis?
I get to do the fun stuff. So let me give you an idea. I love building furniture. Mm-hmm. It's my hobby. Yeah. And I just build really nice furniture and custom pieces to put in my rentals just so I get more money. So to me, that's like, oh, you know what? I'm going to build a really nice bench, or I'm going to build something nice. I go to my shop, I build something nice, and I learn techniques. The good stuff I put in my home or give to a family member as a gift. The other stuff that I think this is really cool, but you know, I stick in a rental and I get more money for my rental because now they're mildly furnished. Now I've integrated some of my hobbies and the things that I love doing in life and figured out how to way to inadvertently make money off it.
So the rentals have really bought you the freedom to be able to do what it is that you really want to do.
I took 4 weeks off in August. Well, three and then a week to see my parents, but, and went down to Jackson Hole and went mountain biking, headed over to Moab. And like me and my wife took 4 weeks off. And we self-managed our buildings and everything ran fine for almost the entire month that we were gone, even though we were 3,000 miles away.
That is awesome. And so you also are a real estate broker today. So if somebody is maybe looking to invest in the Anchorage area and they're looking for someone to help them out, what's the best way for someone to get in touch with you?
Well, they can just call me at 907-529-2289. They can Google Kevin Cross. So one thing that's unique about our real estate team and what we've done is we are like 90% investors. So anybody that buys an investment property through us, by the way, gets a whole network of contractors at significantly discounted prices. So because as a property owner, we don't pay retail. Mm-hmm. Investors don't pay retail.
Right.
Okay. And so whether it's roofers or it's remodel contractors, asphalt, I don't care what it is. Like we have a network of discounts. Additionally, for the life that somebody buys a property from us that they own it, we will help you fill vacancies at no charge. So I have a commercial rent place account and I have my VAs in the Philippines that help place ads and pre-screen. You buy a property through us and for the life that you own it, we will also help you fill it with good tenants. That's how you avoid having to hire a property manager. That's how you put more money in your pocket.
That sounds like a really great opportunity. If anyone is interested in investing in Anchorage and you want to reach out to Kevin, I've got his contact information on the website. You can find it at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode233. If this episode inspired you and you're looking to either buy your first rental property or add to your portfolio, the lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. She's a nationwide lender and she focuses on investors. That's all she does all day, every day. She's helping investors finance rental properties. She's got access to a ton of different loan programs and she can find something that'll work for you in your situation. If you want to find out more or set up a time to talk to Chaley, just go to her website. It's ridgelendinggroup.com. That's RIDGE lendinggroup.com. And if you mention Rental Income Podcast, she will waive all the pre-qualification fees. NMLS 42056. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. If this is your first time here, make sure you subscribe and you'll get notified as soon as a new episode comes out. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.
Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate, but you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew, topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.